Good evening, everyone. As James was speaking earlier about Christmas, it seems hard to believe that 2 weeks ago was Christmas Day, and now here we are, already another week into the year. And I wonder what God has planned for us in 2017. I find the start of a new year is always a good opportunity to stop and pause and reflect on what God has been doing in the year that is past. It's always a moment of celebration, I find, and also a time to stop and think about the year ahead and start to set a few goals. One of the goals that Michelle and I have set for ourselves for 2017 is to read through the whole Bible together. As husband and wife, we've never done that before. Certainly, we've done that individually, but not together. So, looking forward to that. And I've got to say, tonight's reading from Psalm 84 has been a terrific way to get into working towards that goal. There's a big emphasis in this psalm on the blessings of God. And we're going to be focusing on those blessings tonight. But we're also going to spend a little bit of time looking at the detail behind the psalm. And as we do that, let us pray and ask God to guide us through this. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your word transforms us. We thank you that your word reveals yourself to us. And we thank you that through your word, you teach us about yourself. You teach us about ourselves. And you teach us how you want us to live in your presence. We give you thanks for your word and ask that you would guide us now through your Holy Spirit in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the tricky things about the Psalms is we don't always spend a lot of time getting into the context of them. And the Psalms, because they're poetry and they're so emotive, it's easy for us to suddenly get into the feelings and the emotions of the Psalm, and without always reflecting on the intention behind the Psalm. What was the writer trying to achieve? And as we learn about that, we start to see some of the depth behind that. As we learn about the depth, that helps us in understanding the God behind the psalm. So firstly, let's have a look at the writer of this psalm. You'll see why that's important as we get into some of the detail. But we're not told the particular name of the person who wrote this psalm. We are told, though, that he is one of the sons of Korah. Korah was not a particularly flattering name in the Old Testament. If you go back to the time of Moses, Korah was a cousin of Moses and Aaron, and he rebelled against God's leaders because he wanted to be one of the chief priests. But that role had already been assigned to Aaron. And Korah decides that he knows better and chooses not to listen to God's chosen leaders. It doesn't end well for Korah. And in fact, it doesn't end well for 15,000 people who followed him. But from this line of Korah came Samuel. Even though Samuel was not a direct descendant of Aaron, and therefore not a priest by inheritance, he was given a priestly role by God. Sadly, Samuel's sons didn't follow in the ways of the Lord. They were more interested in their own personal gain, and it seems they had more in common with their ancestor Korah than they did their father Samuel. It's not until we get to later generations that we become accustomed to these sons of Korah, the ones who disassociated themselves with the sins of their fathers and were rewarded with a place in the temple under King David. Now these sons of Korah became singers or gatekeepers who watched over the east and northern sides of the temple. Every morning, every evening, they'd stand at the door and they would praise God. And whenever people came to make offerings to the Lord, they would praise God. They had a very important role, but they were only ever at the very door to the temple. The second thing to note by way of background is the reference in verse 7 to Zion. Now, Zion is the name of the hill in which the city of Jerusalem was built on. Zion also has a number of other names and references. Jerusalem, in Old Testament times, the pinnacle of Jerusalem was the temple. And Zion became known as the name for God's city, the very place where God dwells, the place where every Israelite would come to offer sacrifice. If you wanted to meet God in the ancient world, the place to go was the temple. Of course, God didn't need a house. He couldn't be contained within a building. But God chose to allow his name to be made known in the temple in Jerusalem on the holy hill, Zion. Third thing to note by way of background is the reference to pilgrimage in verse 5. Once a year, every Israelite was obliged to make pilgrimage to Zion to offer up sacrifices to God. Every year at the Passover, it was normal for a family who had their trust in the Lord God Almighty to go up in pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. This was a big occasion. It would take them a long time, often 1 or 2 weeks, to get to Jerusalem. The last thing to note by way of background is a reference in verse 9 to your anointed one. All kings in ancient times were anointed. It's interesting to note that the root word associated with anointed in the Hebrew is Messiah. And in the Greek, it is Christ. In effect, every king of Israel was a Messiah. Every king of Israel was a Christ. What the people of Israel were looking forward to and waiting for was not just another king that would come. They were looking for the king, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would not just observe the promises of Israel for a time, but would bring them in for all time. Okay, that's all by way of background. And that will help us as we start to look at the detail of this psalm. I said at the beginning that this psalm was a psalm about blessings from God. And there's three that are mentioned in this psalm. The blessing of dwelling with God, the blessing of pilgrimage with God, and the blessing of trusting God. So firstly, we're going to look at the blessing of dwelling with God. In verse 4, if you've got your Bibles open there. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. What a blessing it is to be able to dwell with God, to be able to come into the very presence of God. In verse 1 we read, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The psalmist longs to be in the very presence of God. In verse 3, we read, "Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God." The psalmist wishes that he could be one of the blessed, like the birds, who are able to make their dwelling with God in the inner sanctums of his house. The freedom that the birds have to come into the Lord's house, to perch there, and to be in the presence, the very presence of the Lord God Almighty. The psalmist wishes not that they could become a bird, but that they could live in such close proximity to God. That's what the psalmist is crying out for. As one of the sons of Korah, the best that the writer of the psalm could hope for was to stand at the door of the Lord's temple. But what he longed for was to be able to go so much deeper into God's dwelling place, into the very presence of God himself. What a blessing it is to be able to dwell in the house of God and praise his name forever. Second blessing that the psalmist describes here is the blessing of pilgrimage in verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. It's hard to know here whether the psalmist is referring to the literal pilgrimage which the Israelites made up to Jerusalem each year, or whether it's more metaphoric about the overall life journey towards God. It could be both. Our life is a trajectory towards God. Physically, we are participating in life's journey. For the Jew living in ancient times, the journey to Jerusalem was not an easy one. It was long and arduous. Once a year, they're expected to make that trip to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to God. It is costly for them, both in time and in resources. They have to take enough food to last them for the journey, which could take up to a week, and a week to get home again. They have to take their offering with them to offer in the temple. And as was the case with most journeys, you'd expect the further you go, the more tired you start to become. And yet that's not the case that we find here. In fact, the closer they get to Zion, to Jerusalem, the stronger they get. They go from strength to strength. We read there that they go through a place called the Valley of Baca. We don't really know much about that. We do know a little bit about the bush or the tree or the shrub called Baca. It's usually found in dry, dusty places. So presumably what the psalmist is saying here is their journey is one that is quite difficult, quite arduous, going through dry, dusty terrain. And yet what do we see as they pass through there? God brings rains. He makes it a place of springs. In fact, it becomes quite a delight to them. As the people walk with God on their pilgrimage, he blesses them. He sends them rain. He makes it a place of springs and covers it with pools. It is a blessing to be able to walk through life with God. Even though our physical body may grow weaker over time, and for you guys who are still at school or at uni, I remember those days, and I know you're saying at the moment, I don't know what you're talking about, Greg. That's great. Enjoy that, because the time will come when you'll think back and think, I remember what Greg was talking about now. The body does grow weaker over time. But the person who walks with the Lord is blessed by the Lord. They grow stronger in their faith. They learn to trust God more and more. Every step becomes a step of faith. And every twist and turn in that journey of life, the follower of God sees that God is taking care of them. And they go from strength to strength. As you look back on your life and you think about the trials that you faced, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian and you have gone through those trials, you've come out the other side. God has been holding you and taking you through those trials. First blessing, the blessing of dwelling with God. The second blessing, the blessing of pilgrimage or walking through life with God. The third blessing that the psalmist here talks about is the blessing of trusting in God. Verse 12, O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. It's a combination, really, of the first two blessings. The person who trusts in God enjoys living in the presence of God and enjoys walking with God. I have a look at the way that the psalmist sums it up in verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. It is so good to dwell in the house of the Lord, says the psalmist, that I desire just one day in the presence of God than 1,000 amongst the wicked. And this son of Korah would realize what a blessing it is to be in the presence of God and not to be cast aside with the wicked. He knows wickedness. He's experienced it firsthand throughout earlier generations in his family. And he would rather one day with the Lord than to be a part of any of that. Far better to be a servant of the Lord than to live amongst the wicked. He goes on to say, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord God doesn't withhold any good thing from those whose walk is blameless. King David wrote something similar in Psalm 15 when he asked the question, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? And he responds by saying, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbour no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. If you ever want to know what it means to live a righteous and blameless life, then go and have a look at Psalm 15, because it sets out some very practical ways for us of living out our faith. You may recall, if you were here last week when Matt spoke from Psalm 1, that the writer of Psalm 1 also says a similar thing. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. No good thing does the Lord God withhold from those who trust him. Three blessings: the blessing of living with God, the blessing of walking with God, the blessing of trusting God. Well, just before we leave this psalm, there's one more thing that we need to address. And that's the prayer that comes in the middle of those blessings. In verses 8 and 9. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Why this prayer? What's the writer trying to achieve here by putting this prayer in? Who's he referring to? He talks about this shield. Look upon our shield, O God. In verse 11, we're told that the Lord God is our shield. And he's talking about, look with favor on your anointed one. We talked earlier about the word anointed, and in the Hebrew being a reference to Messiah. Another way of saying verse 9 might be something like this: look upon our God, O God. Look with favor on your Messiah. As we hear a prayer like that, what do we start to think about? I know I start to think about Jesus, the Messiah Christ, the ultimate shield, the one who is able to protect us from all harm, even the very wrath of God. Look with favor on your Messiah. He is the one who protects us from your wrath. And a son of Korah knows what the wrath of God is like, because he's already seen it experienced in his ancestors. Here the psalmist is asking God to look with favor upon his chosen Messiah, because he is the one that we depend upon to protect us from God's coming wrath. He is the one who offered up his body so that we could enter into the dwelling place of God, the Holy of Holies. He became for us the temple of God, the place where we meet God. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. He actually enters into fellowship with us so that we too become the temple of God through his Holy Spirit. For God never intended to live or be constrained to a building, but to dwell in the lives and hearts of his people. So by way of application and a way of wrapping up what we've just been looking at, I want to leave us with two questions. Number one, what do you long for? The psalmist longs to live with God. It is better to be in God's court than anywhere else. It is far better to be a servant in God's house than a master in the house of the wicked. True godliness is to want to be with God. True love of God is to want to dwell with him and not to hang around with evil. We know that's true, don't we? And yet, we are so tempted to hang around with evil, to allow ourselves to get caught up in the success that the world offers to us, the success that is lived out in tents, temporary, as opposed to dwelling in the house of the Lord, which is permanent. What do you long for? To be seen as a success in this world, or to be a servant of the Lord God Almighty? And secondly, are you growing weary or getting stronger? Life is a struggle. Life is not always going to be easy. You don't need me to tell you that. Many of you have already gone through very significant challenges and struggles in this life. And we're going to face all sorts of trials that are really difficult. But the one whose trust is in the Lord will not grow weary. God gives strength to the weak. Isaiah writes, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Hand your struggles over to God. Don't try and walk through this life alone. Learn to trust God in all situations, and you'll not grow weary. Well, let me leave you with these words from the book of Revelation, where we are given a picture of that heavenly city, the trajectory in which those whose faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ are heading. a picture of God dwelling with his people. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a great blessing that is, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, how lovely is your dwelling place. Our heart and our flesh cry out for you, the living God. We long for the day when we shall dwell in your house forever. But until that day comes, we ask that you would continue to be our shield and our strength. Guide us through the struggles of this life. Enable us not to grow weary, but to trust in your unfailing goodness. May we go from strength to strength in the power of your Holy Spirit, till we each appear before you in your holy city, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.